Hello, fellow Egypt. Welcome to Taranoia. Welcome, you're very welcome. I have my pop shield back. I couldn't find it. I thought the dog had eaten it, but he hadn't. I found the pop shield finally, so maybe it'll be a little less hot, essy, a little less plosive-y. We'll do our best anyway. I hope you're enjoying these home recordings and the homemade nature of them. We did an interview with a brilliant guest, our first brilliant guest there, and he was fabulous, but we did it in the studio, so of course the sound will be much, much better than it is here. So I do apologise, as I've been going back and doing a little bit of editing just to make sure you don't get me breathing or slurping or all that crack, you know, too much. I've noticed that there are, of course, there are things like the neighbour's lawnmower, there's the cat, there's all that sort of stuff going on. So I hope that's okay, because all I want to do is make some stuff at home so that I can build up a little bit of a run of them for you. I can't always get into the studio and it's just me in the duvet. So I hope that's okay. I kind of enjoyed hearing the neighbour's lawnmower as it got a bit colder in the weather terms. In the weather terms? Well, as it got a bit colder, I was very much enjoying listening to the lawnmower and remembering that it was sunny and that the windows used to be open or that people were outside doing things. Now it's all people inside talking about turf. That's, you know, I hope this sounds okay to you is what I'm saying. But we'll be doing lots of them in the studio as we go on and as we have guests. It's been an interesting one for me speaking into the microphone by myself because I usually collaborate. That's something I love. I used to love doing the improv. That's why I'd love you to send me suggestions and, you know, not go feck yourself. Not stuff like that. I get plenty of that online anyway. But I would love if you podcast listeners would send me suggestions for stuff you'd like me to either talk about or things that can justify. So made up things that we can have a bit of crack with, like conspiracy theories or listeners' ludicrous statements, a ludicrous statement you'd like me to defend for you. As long as it's not racist or anything like that, I'll have a look at it. Your random acts of kindness. Yes, that's right. Signal the fuck out of your virtue. Forget virtue signalling. I am so sick of faux intellectual edge signalling. It is so fucking boring. So get over it, lads. If you can't be kind, be quiet. And sure, if you've done something kind or you've seen someone else doing something kind, let us know about it. Let's share it. Let's get all that on board. Awkward advice. I was there on I went on News Talk during the week to do a bit of advice. Usually it's Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley. And I was invited on to give advice. It was brilliant. And I thought, finally, in my 49th year, I get to give some national advice. This is brilliant. For all the people that told me that I was pontificating and always, you know, shouting about giving advice or telling people how to live. It's never telling anyone how to live. I don't know how to live. I just... happy to share things that I've learned as I've fucked up. Oh, the things that I have fucked up on. Oh, my word. And we'll probably get to them as the podcast goes on because it is all about Taranoia. It is all about my anxieties and fears, where they've come from and how I've overcome some of them and how some of them are still there and how some of them were me just being a bit misguided and now I've listened and learned. The sink. Home news. The sink. The sink is better. The plumber came and blasted the crap out of it and the sink is better. It's amazing. It's shining. It's gleaming. My hands smell like Cif or other cleaning products are available. But actually, that's a bit of a lie because I don't know what my hands smell like. I have no sense of smell. Maybe it's one reason I'm paranoid, because if I fart, I don't know how far it travels or who will know. So I can't take that chance. I've got to go into the toilet. I've got to be away from people. I have no idea how toxic or noxious the fecker is. I have to be so careful when I let rip. I have to be so careful. Also, if someone else does, I always want to know, because even though I can't smell it, I'm convinced that they're like little smell molecules that stick to your clothes or your skin, so that if someone farts near me, I'm going to carry that with me and everyone's going to think it's me. That's real paranoia at work, but I just don't know. So I need people to tell me. And recently, especially now we've got our sink back, I've made friends with onions. I was never a big friend of the onion. I used to think they were sort of an unnecessary thing. And I hated them raw, so I always equated them with that sort of very pungent flavour. Because I do have a sense of taste. That's the next question people always ask. you don't have a sense of smell, so how can you taste anything? How do you taste? I taste amazing. That's how I taste. I don't know. I definitely do have more going on in my mouth. Yeah, that's right. I have more going on in my mouth than just salt, sweet, sour, those kind of basics. I'm not a scientist. I don't know how it works. All I know is that I definitely like certain flavors. I like stronger flavors. I prefer coffee to tea. But I've made friends with onions again, not least because I'm cooking more at home. I'm doing the good old, you know, start from scratch, make new slow cooking. I'm doing all those things that the magazines are telling us to do, apparently, which is great fun. It's great to start from scratch, build a dish up from garlic and onions up. But I definitely put in more garlic than other people would because I want to taste it properly. I don't get the scent of it, so I want to taste that mofo. I want to taste it on my tongue. I don't want it to be hiding there. I don't want it subtle. I want it a raging riot of garlic in my mouth. That's what I want. So I've been cooking a lot and making, you know, but that means I clean a lot more. So I don't know what my hands smell like. All I'm telling you is that they definitely smell between onions and cleaning products. They definitely smell, but I won't know about it. I remember about 10 years ago at the Edinburgh Fringe, this guy was doing a show. He had a sense of smell and he was doing a show about people who don't have a sense of smell. And he came looking for me in the loft bar at the Edinburgh Fringe, which is where a lot of people go for drinks after their shows. And he came up to me and said, you're the person they've been telling me about. I was like, oh, wondering if he was talking about my show or my comedy. No. He said, you have no sense of smell. I really need you to come and see my show. I really, like in my show, he said, I eat a raw onion because you guys, apparently to you, it's the same as an apple. I wanted to give him a hug or a punch. I didn't know which. But either way, I just said, no, an onion's not an apple. It's an onion, and particularly raw onions. I mean, maybe there's something compensatory going on in the mouthful area. Maybe I can taste things a bit more strongly. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't make any sense, but I'm trying to make sense of it as I go along because people always go, you what? You've no sense of smell? I don't. And once when I was living in a bedsit in Cork, the landlord came in and told me I'd left the gas on. So I might not be here, guys, because of my sense of smell. It's so dangerous. But also, I've never smelt slurry. So I'm ahead on that point. Madonna turned 60. Kylie is 50. And we always talk about them in that sort of way. Like, can you believe? Can you believe she's 60? Can you believe she's 50? And I can because I remember them coming on the scene. Because I'm sort of that same age. Not 60 yet, but I am nearly 50, like Kylie. I'm very like Kylie in lots of ways. So Kylie's 50, Madonna's 60, and we talk about them as the exceptions. But that's not what I see. I see so many people not giving in to age stereotyping. And a few people have said to me ages ago, a friend of mine said to me, maybe it was even that year that I was talking to the Onion guy at the Fringe. They said to me, you have a habit of talking about your age all the time. You do it on stage, you do it off stage, like as if you're the oldest person in the room, or you constantly mention it. And there's a reason for that. That's because it's always mentioned. Once you pass the age of 25 in the business that I'm in, it's mentioned a lot to you. It's mentioned as a way to say that you should be limiting yourself, or you should have made it further, or that you can only look a certain way for a certain length of time. There's a certain kind of thing you should or could wear. There are things you shouldn't do after a certain age in terms of try and look for leading roles or expanding your horizons. If you haven't done it by now, you won't do it. So it was constantly being mentioned. In fact, that was just after I'd moved to London. And my someone who was representing me at the time told me not to move to London, that it was too competitive. And at my age, which at the time was 37, they said, you shouldn't try it. It's just, no, there's just no way. But I moved and I was there for 5 years and I loved it. And I'm really glad that I kept learning and I kept pushing. I think one of the things that keeps people from getting old in that sense that we think of old and tired and weary, I think, and giving up, I think a lot of that is lack of curiosity. We feel like we know it all. But I think if you keep asking questions and keep pushing yourself, then that's sort of important. I wrote a thing for Headstuff Lectures. So I'm not lecturing you, but I would love to read my lecture, if that's okay. So I'm going to read that for you now, and I'll see you on the other side. Can anybody see me? You don't vanish all at once. The erasure happens bit by bit. You fade away gradually each day. It'll never happen to me, you think, but suddenly you're just a voice, a faint one. The one discrimination that will happen to us all, if we're lucky, is ageism. You might get through life and never experience sexism, racism, transphobia, or homophobia, but once you pass 50, you are old, unfresh, unexciting, bread you wouldn't eat, eggs you'd throw out. I'm going to share something shocking with you. I'm nearly 50. Well, I'm 49, not nearly 50 at all if you're 5 and counting every day until you're 6. But otherwise, I'm as good as 50. In fact, in relation to 25, when everything happens, I'm 60 or dead, but definitely starting to become invisible. Saying, you look all right for your age is nice to hear, but actually, it's part of it. It means you're beating the system somehow, but not for long, Grandma. And now that I know your actual age, I'll probably subconsciously start to discount you. MILF. Mother I'd like to fuck. An older woman you'd still like to fuck. Or is it just mothers? Is it the maternity that's attractive? Would you still fuck me even though I've never given birth? What's the acronym for that? Cougar. Not real women. Wild beasts. Should have stopped being sexual around the normal time, say about 26 and a half. If you don't take care of grey hairs or wrinkles immediately, you've given up. When relaxing into who you really are is giving up, you know society has a problem with ageing. Let me tell you, 50 happens real fast. 50 comes round in the time between an in-breath and an exhalation. I feel the same now as when I was 25. The mirror may not match this feeling, but I've almost the same amount of energy, the same dreams, except I'm not supposed to ask for those dreams anymore. I'm supposed to fade into the background. You missed your go, that's how it's seen. If I haven't heard of you by 50 or you're not a millionaire, home-owning CEO or something, we don't know where to put us. Old women are only allowed to be wise, feared. Or they can be doddery and adorable, but once fertility is gone, what real use are they? Men suffer ageism too, don't worry about that, lads. But you become distinguished wizards, whereas we might be useful for asking for an old recipe. Be vigilant for the lazy trope of the hilarious old woman. Not saying we're not witty, we are, but for example, skateboarding isn't hilarious, yet if a granny or a stuntman dressed as one does it, it's a laugh riot. Rapping, not hilarious, but look, a woman in her 70s has heard of hip-hop. And sex, even the most inclusive comedians use older women as punchlines. And who was giving me the blowjob? Her mother. Listen, our foremothers invented blowjobs and unusual positions because it was cold outside and there was no telly. I don't want to make you think about your own nan inappropriately. I'm just saying, don't write Nana's skills off. Postmenopause. Women aren't supposed to be physical beings anymore, so we erase them from popular culture. The women in the ads are all 18, or Helen Mirren, who we love, but she has genes and money with which most of us cannot compete. I don't see myself on my screen, not enough. And if you live long enough, all of this will happen to you. Older men are sometimes rewarded. Women pay for surviving all the rest of the shit. The years don't make us tough, they make us worn. Not giving a fuck. The best bit about getting older is the not giving a fuck. Granny DGAF. But it isn't as simple as that. You do give fewer actual fucks, but once you're invisible, it's the only way to get things done. The social contracts you use when you're young abandon you. If you make eye contact with a bartender or a server, it's creepy. Not just a bit of fun while you wait for your sandwich or beer. Not a silly social way to make sure they remember you. Those little daily interactions go. They don't see you. No wonder you'll stand up after 40 minutes on a stool, twirling your handbag over your head, crying, "For God's sake, sonny, give me my fucking wine." You do fade physically, You do have to do a lot of squats and lunges just to make sure things don't lose density and break down the line. You see things happen again and again, fashions coming in and out. But do you get credit for it? No. And proper order. You shouldn't get extra respect just because you got here first. But nor should you get less just because you'll be gone first too. You don't lose your vitality, yourself. I'm still in here, hearing all the reasons why such unfreshness shouldn't be on TV, or before I met my husband, still single at my age. What was wrong with me? Age as a reason to dump you, to not date you in the first place. We see the documentaries undercover in care homes showing how, though most carers are wonderful, sometimes even those who are paid to care do not. Would that attitude be so prevalent if wider society didn't rush to bury older people before they're dead? I'm not saying, visit your nana more. She might be an awful human. Instead, question why you don't see her in magazines or on screen. Until we see it, we can't change it. I'm just asking you to see it. If a movie has a lazy granny having sex scene, instead of saying, ooh, granny sex, ugh, go, wow, Chad is going to have learnt some new moves. Lucky Chad. Laugh with us, not at us. Maybe we'll be having so much fun together, there'll be more intergenerational interaction and people won't throw you on the scrap heap either when your time comes. For now, I fight the heap with all my might. It will happen to you. It's in the post. So let's change things. For your granny now and for your skateboarding, rapping, no limit self to come. Yours sincerely, a disembodied voice. There you go now. That was Can Anybody See Me? That's in my collection, Raging, which is out on Mercia Press. If you'd like to read that without my voice. And I think it's worth just chatting about aging and ageism. And bear in mind, it works the other way too. Ageism is a really weird thing. I can't stand, there's actually an essay in the book about millennials. I can't stand when people are rude to millennials. Millennials? Can't even say it. I'm so incensed about it. I can't stand when people are rude to and about them. Because it was our generation that absolutely royally fucked things up. By the way, if you can hear cranes in the background, the boom is back. There's a lot of digging and pneumatic drilling in the area that I'm in. I won't be here much longer. I'm not saying I'm dying, I'm not. No, God. Oh, wouldn't this be a poignant final episode if I did die? Oh, I hope I don't die. Anyway, the cranes are going in the background and you might be able to hear them, but the boom is back. And the last one, oh, just all the being told to buy properties if you had any savings and people just going crazy. And now seeing that people can't even rent a tiny bedsit in Cork where you'd leave the gas on. It's an impossible thing. But people get talked down to and condescended to, and I can't stand it. And it's another reason why I mention my age. Sometimes when I'm speaking about something quite serious, it could be on a campaign level or it could be just privately. And someone who doesn't know me very well will say something like, oh, well, you're young. You'll understand in a few years. And I go, I'm 40 fucking nine, asshole. I've thought about this. There's no point patronising me. I'll patronise the fuck out of you. Right back. I'll get a little bit of extra respect when I say my... So it's weird. I'll get disrespected and erased if people know my age or... They see me up very close and they can go, oh yeah, there's Nana now. And they sort of don't see you, or they package you in a certain, they put you in a certain box. And that's fine. But it's interesting as well how in the other direction, I will get discounted until I say, I've been around the block a few times. Young man, I've been around the block a few times, young fellow my lad. And come back. I'll hit you with my stick. I think it's really awful that we don't see more of intergenerational interaction on screen or in magazines. It's either a sort of an aging special in a fancy magazine or a magazine for older people where, I never see myself there either. I don't see these people who don't fit into one bracket necessarily. And especially now that we're all having to work till we absolutely drop dead, there's no retirement. I don't know many people who can retire. From my generation, everyone's still working their holes off because they have to. We're stuck. We're trapped. But this is meant to be a fun episode about being visible. and vulnerability, sharing your vulnerability. I've said it before, but I think it's important and I'm happy to share it with you. The vulnerability happens physically too. I've had to modify the exercise routines that I do. That wounds my pride like nobody's business. The marathon training, gym going Egypt of old is now a creaky. I'm getting creakier. I have to admit it. I'm doing okay. The muscles are doing grand. The muscles are responding to weight training or running or anything like that, like they always used to. It's the joints. It's the joints. You have to watch out for the joints. They are creaking like nobody's business, like doors in haunted house films. That's me doing a squat. And I have to modify the exercises I do. Not necessarily work less hard, but I have to admit that I can't do as many explosive things. No, I'm not talking about farts again. No, I can't do as many of those sort of leave the ground high knee type things as I used to do. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. But it'd be great if the trade-off was that you could see more of that. More of that on television. More creaking on television. That's what I'm all about. Things like Grace and Frankie are great. They show people, older people, having sex in relationships, just getting on with their lives. And it's not, the comedy comes from their life situation, not from the fact they're having sex. Oh, imagine being sexual when you're older. Lads, I have news for you. Oh, before you were out, the things we were doing. Oh, I'll tell you, probably accounts for a lot of my knee problems right now, is all I'm saying.
When it comes to understanding political issues, I am a self-confessed toddler. That's why I've enlisted the help of Steve, my politically savvy drinking buddy, to help me better understand politics.
Every couple of weeks, we get together and record on topics like what is the politics of language, what is Watergate, how the internet is killing democracy.
We take these big issues and we break them down into silly little comedic bite-sized bits. If you like the sound of that, then search for What Am Politics in your podcast app of choice or find us here on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
So because these haven't aired yet, well, this is probably one of the last ones we'll record before they start going out. I'm so excited, but I'm also terrified. I would love to hear your suggestions. Loads of suggestions for me, please. That'd be great. Like ads. I'd love to do ads for you. The perfume ads that I can't ever know if they're false advertising or not because I don't know what the thing smells like. That doesn't mean I don't love getting perfume as presents, especially ones that people that are close to me have chosen for me. I love perfume ads. I'd love to do, things like glands, flare, singe. Yeah, those are some perfume product names that, send me some product names. Send the awkward advice, the fake products, ads, the conspiracy theories and random acts of kindness. Let's send me some of those. I would love to see those. That would be absolutely brilliant. The worst thing about getting older is going to a place where they use your address, the way of addressing you as a way to signify your age. So like in France where it's Madame or Mademoiselle. My Mademoiselle days are long behind me. Honestly, I'd pay more in a restaurant if they called me Mademoiselle. Honestly, I would. If they ignored the knee creaks and just gave me more wine and basically pandered to my aging vanity. Yeah, it'd be great fun. It'd be great fun because it's just because then I'd feel more like, hey, we're all the same, not you're in a bracket that I'm going to discount in either direction. And yeah, señora, señorita, that's gone now too. That's my señorita days are over. Mind you, I think señorita or mademoiselle, yeah, I'd feel like a bit of a weirdo if somebody did call me that actually. I'd know they were lying. And I'd have to call them out on it and say, don't needlessly flatter me. Let's not go overboard. One of the last times I was called ma'am, which is a weird thing. We don't tend to do that in Ireland. I think that's quite a good thing. Ma'am, because we don't have any queens here. Well, not the kind of royal type. Anyway, we don't say ma'am. We say, hey, you, or yeah, it's. Yeah, it's definitely not as polite, but in that way that I hate, you know, that sort of faux politeness that is all about performance and not about whether you're really being decent or not. But there are some times when it's nice. And one time it was nice. And I lived a whole day or two on this. We were in LA I was writing a book and we were in LA staying in a rented flat, and we were writing all day and all night, basically. And not all day and all night, we'd go out and we'd do something in the afternoon just to make sure we knew where we were, because that's where my husband is from. So sometimes we have to go there to visit family and stuff like that. So we decided to make use of the flight by staying over there for a month. And I wrote a book, or the, you know, the bones of a first draft of a book. And my husband was working on some telly stuff. And every morning I'd go out to the coffee shop and I would walk the sort of mile or so to the coffee shop and back. And that was my treat, having done a few hundred words very early in the morning. And then I'd do more all the way into the afternoon. And this is a long-winded story to get you to where we're going on this. But right beside where the coffee shop was, near Mohawk Bend in Echo Park, there was a firehouse, Echo Park Firehouse, I think it was. Maybe it was Silver Lake. I think it was Echo Park. And one morning, very, very early, I'm going to the coffee shop and there's this firefighter out. And like in a music video from the 80s, he was stripped to the waist. It was a lovely sunny day. He was cleaning the fire truck. He was washing and buffing the fire truck with his bare hands, like it was a beloved thing to him, which I'm sure it was, a beloved thing. He was the only one in evidence. I'm sure there were other lads in the firehouse, but he was the only one in evidence. And he's washing the fire truck. And clearly, unbeknownst to myself, I had started to take in this sight in an enthusiastic way as I walked along. And he turns around and sees me and goes, "Morning, ma'am." Well, I nearly passed out. I absolutely nearly passed out. I mean, that image is burned onto my brain. You know, he wouldn't even be my type, but it was the whole combination. There might as well have been a white picket fence and an apple pie there. And even though that can now bring up images for me of white supremacy and very scary things, in that moment, it was like, oh, I'm in an Americana fantasy. This is my Americana fantasy dream come true. Even if it turned out to be a bit of a nightmare, I'm still grateful to that young man. He made my day. He will never know he made my day with those two words. He made my day. So there are clearly, I'm so contradictory. I'm always going to be contradicting myself and figuring things out as I go. Yeah, thank you. I was flattered. And even though he called me ma'am, which is technically what you would call someone older, I didn't mind. It was fine. I was there and I didn't care what age I was. He made me feel seen, man. He made me feel seen. And I think I probably made him feel seen too, which is something I'll have to address in myself as I go on. I can't be objectifying firefighters. They've got a lot on. Can't be doing that. Another thing that's terrible is when you do the self-service till at the supermarket. I always feel really clever. I feel like I've got an actual 9-to-5 job when that happens. I feel a bit more secure at the till as a result. I expect a paycheck at the end of the week. But I go and I'll, if I'm getting alcohol, and sometimes I am, if I'm getting alcohol and the person has to come, I like them to put on a little bit of a show, a little bit of a song and a dance before they go, they hit that button that goes, customer is clearly over 25 or whatever it says. Don't say clearly. Maybe it's ambiguous. Maybe from across the shop. There should be more buttons is what I'm saying. From across the shop, this customer could have been. But now that I'm very close and I've heard their worldly wisdom, now, only now, do I see that they're 49. They're 49 years old. Well, this is a sort of short and sweet one. I wanted to read that piece for you and I wanted to talk a bit about ageism in both directions, as I say. So mind your knees. That's the top tip. Drink plenty of water. Keep moving. Even if it's your eyebrows, keep moving. Use it or lose it. And stay curious at all times. So send me some questions. I would love that. If you want to go to the Patreon page, please do. That'll be lovely. Can't force you to, though. I would never force you to. And hopefully I will see you back here again soon on Taranoia. So don't be too paranoid yourselves. We all fuck up. We're all doing our best. And I'm going to leave you with a Flynnspiring. Twitter has a block button, but the ignore button was inside you all along. Huh? See what I did there? those of you still on Twitter, just have a think about that. You don't have to answer every tweet. Not every thought needs to be voiced. Although I'm letting you in on some vulnerabilities here, there are loads of things I'm never going to tell you, like how I got those creaky knees. No way. Have boundaries. Have boundaries for yourselves. Give yourselves a little break sometimes. And give other people a break too. You don't have to reply to every tweet. Twitter has a block button, but the ignore button was inside you all along. Thank you, fellow Egypts. See you soon.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.